If you have a, or are familiar with a red letter Bible, almost every word that I'm going to read this morning is spoken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm reading from Luke 16, starting in verse 1. And this is called the parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What's this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.'" Whoa.
He's fired.
"The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. And he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of oil, of olive oil,' he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, 'How much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat,' he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill, make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are with people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. This is important. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Whoa, listen to this. "The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, 'You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight.'"
Thank you, Nick. And the Lord always adds his blessing to both the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we ask that through your word this morning, we thank you for your word spoken here by our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded and revealed by your Holy Spirit through Luke. And Father, I pray that through your word, you would speak to our hearts this morning. May we hear and understand your point of what you want us to know in this story that seems strange to us. But Lord, may we understand your message in your heart today through your word. Give us the ears to hear through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. There's a city boy named Kenny who moved to the country, and he bought a donkey from an old farmer for $100. The farmer agreed to deliver the donkey to him the next day. So the next day, the farmer drove up to Alma and he said, "Sorry, son, but I have some bad news for you. The donkey died." Kenny replied and said, "Well then, just give me my money back." And the farmer said, "Well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I went out and spent the money already. It's gone." Kenny said, "Okay, then just unload the donkey." And the farmer said, "What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with a dead donkey?" And Kenny says, "Well, I'm going to raffle him off." The farmer said, "You can't raffle off a dead donkey." Kenny said, "Sure I can. Just watch me." So a month later, the farmer met up with Kenny again and asked him, he said, "Well, whatever happened to the dead donkey?" Kenny said, "Well, I raffled him off. I sold 500 tickets and I made a profit of $898. And the farmer says, "Well, didn't anybody complain?" And Kenny said, "Yeah, just the guy who won. So I gave him his $2 back." That was a guy who, you could say, with his money management, was shrewd. He was shrewd in a way to come up with a plan that he thought benefit himself out of a situation that didn't look too good for him, but he was going to try to use it for his advantage. Sort of like the story that Jesus told us this morning. Because all of us, this story this morning deals with something that deals with every single one of us and relates to in our life, and that's money. How we handle it, and money is a necessary part of life. And you say, "Oh boy, here we go, talking about money." That's all we have. You know, Jesus talked about it a lot. And here's a story to talk about how we handle what it is God has given us. And money is one of those things that it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. It's how we choose to manage and use what it is that God's given us. And that's the point of the story this morning. Now, there is a movie years ago called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. If anybody ever seen any Indiana Jones movies, he was an archaeologist. And he got involved in all kinds of adventures. The first movie was looking for the Ark of the Covenant. But in the third movie, he was looking for the lost grail, the holy grail of a cup that was used by Jesus in communion in the Last Supper. And so he goes on this quest along with his father to find the holy grail. And they get to the end of the movie, and they enter into this place where all these chalices are kept. And there was being guarded, the cup of the Lord was being guarded by a knight, and they would believe that if you drank of the cup of the Lord, you would have eternal life. And so Indiana Jones arrives in there after getting through all these things tests he had to get through. And the guard confronts him and said, "You must choose wisely. Because that if you choose the wrong one, the cup of the Lord will give you life. But if you choose the wrong one, it will take your life." And so you got to choose wisely. So there was a guy that was in the journey with him who was trying to use it for selfish purposes, not for good, because he didn't believe. And he reached first and he said, chose this big gold goblet. He said, "Surely this would be the chalice that the Lord used. It's fit for a king." And he picked that gold one and he began to drink from it. And it took his life. And the knight said to him, "He chose poorly." So then it came Indiana's turn. And he saw this very plain looking chalice there. And he said, "This looks like a chalice that would be fit for a carpenter would use." And he took it and he drank from it. And the knight said, "You have chosen wisely." The story that before us this morning is Jesus tells a story of a man. It's been called the parable of the shrewd or dishonest manager. And this man was, he was an employee, he was a manager taking care of his master's money. Today would say maybe a financial advisor. He was taking care of the money and managing other money for other people. And he found out, his employer found out that he was misusing the money. He was misappropriating the funds. And so his employer calls him and said, "I've heard that you're mismanaging my funds. You're terminated. You're done. You're fired." He thought, well, what am I going to do? Scott, he might have turned up in black pants that day. He probably wore his black pants. But he said, "You're fired." So he said, "What am I going to do?" He said, I can't work. I'm not strong enough to do physical labor. And he said, "I'm too proud to beg. So what am I going to do?" He said, "I know what I'll do." So he called the people in and said, "Nick, how much do you owe the master?" And Nick said, "Oh, $900. He says, "Well, sit down, make a bill, and make it good for $800, for $400. Then another one, he said, "How much do you owe?" He said, "1,000 gallons of oil. He says, "Well, make it 800. And Jesus then brings the story around of the kicker, and each one of these parables always have like a kicker to it. And Jesus says, the master, when he found out about what his employer did, if that would have been you, and you found out that someone was handling your money that way, how would you have responded? The master gave him praise and commended him for the way he had treated there and told the people to write their bills down and make it smaller. He thought, well, that doesn't make sense. And as I was reading this story and I was studying this week, found out that this is one of the hardest stories to understand and interpret of Jesus. And I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, why did you praise a man who seemed to be a crooked scoundrel? Would you give praise to a man who seems to be a crooked scoundrel? What is it that Jesus is trying to teach us? Why did he make the hero of the story here someone who was shrewd and dishonest?" As I reflected on it, I asked, I said, "Lord, show me, what are you trying to teach us from this story? Why are you praising someone who seems to be dishonest in his business dealings and how he handles people?" And the Lord took me again to the answer. And it says here, the master commended him in verse 8 because he had acted shrewdly. And what the Lord praised him for was his shrewdness, not his business practices, not his actions, not his dishonesty, but for the fact that he was shrewd. So that brings us to the question, what does it mean to be shrewd? Why did the Lord give him praise for shrewdness? What does that mean? And we hear the word shrewd. How many of you, when you hear the word shrewd, you think of something negative? Does that sound like a negative word to you? How many of you think of something positive? Well, when I looked up what the word shrewd means, this word meant in Greek. The word shrewd means this: prudent, wise, or intelligent. And so it's a positive thing. And the Lord praised him because he was wise, prudent, and intelligent in the way that he was using the money and what he did here and using the money for his own advantage, to bring out an advantage to him. So shrewdness is a positive thing. Last week, we saw the foolish man. We saw the man who hoarded all his resources. And remember, there was a great harvest and abundance, and he brought it into his barn, and he didn't have enough room in his barn. So what did he do? He said, "I'll tear my barns down and I'll build a bigger barn." And the Lord said, "You fool, this very night your soul will be required of you." And last week we saw foolish management. Instead of, he hoarded his resources, he didn't use them, he didn't share them, he hoarded them for himself, and the Lord called him foolish. But here the Lord called this man shrewd, because he was wise and intelligent in the way he was using the resources that was given to him. We'll talk about that in a minute. So that's the first part of this. The second question that went through my mind is, well, why did the Lord tell this story to his disciples? Notice verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, Jesus told this story to his disciples. What did he want them, and what did he want us to know about why he told this story? Why was it important? So as I pondered that question. The Lord then took me back up to chapter 15. And let's go to chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. This whole thing is in a context. In chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 says, the tax collectors and the sinners were gathering around him to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. We had seen that when we looked at the parable of the lost son. That the Pharisees and were listening to Jesus, and their attitude was, how in the world could you, Jesus, talk to sinners and people who don't love you? How can you talk to sinners and people like that, the deplorable and the outcast people? How can you welcome people like that? And the Pharisees' attitude was they thought they were better. They thought they were better than others, and that they had special relationship with God. So then he told them the story about the lost sheep and the lost son and the lost coin, and we looked at those, how God welcomes those who are sinners before him, and how God welcomes all who come and repent, and that God's heart is for love to those who receive him. So he shared those three stories with the Pharisees listening, telling them. Then he goes on and tells this story to the disciples about how to have the proper attitude towards how we handle the resources we have. See, the Pharisees took pride in what they had for themselves and were proud in the fact that they thought they had a special relationship with God because they were wealthy. And so he told this story to his disciples to help them have a kingdom mindset about our priorities and our godly attitude towards others. And we saw the beginning in chapter 15. Now we go to chapter 16, verse 14. And we see the Pharisees again. And it says, the Pharisees who loved money heard all this, heard those three stories about the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and now how to handle what they've been given. And they heard all of that. And what was their response? They sneered at Jesus. And so the point of this story was Jesus wanted the disciples to know the proper attitude that those in the kingdom are to have towards what they own, what we have, and how God has blessed us, and how we are to use well, shrewd, wisely, the resources that God's given us. So that's a little bit of an introduction to this story. It's a little bit hard to understand, so it took a little bit more time there. So from this story, we discover three principles that God wants, from this story that Jesus wants to teach us, very practical on how we can use our money wisely or shrewdly, so that just like this man, we will be commended by the Lord, because that's what we want, to be commended by him. And he commends us when we use what he's given us in a shrewd or wise way. So how do we do that? Let's look at this story and discover three principles. The first principle is this: remember that we are managers and not owners. That we're managers and not owners of what we have. Notice it says that there was a man, verse 1 and 2, was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting. And he called him together and said, what's this I hear about you? Give an account of your management. You cannot be a manager any longer. The Lord is the owner of all that we have, and we are simply stewards. What is a steward? A steward is a manager. Stewardship is responsible for managing someone else's property and is entrusted, in this case, we're entrusted by God to manage what he's been given us in a manner that glorifies him. We need to remember that all that you and I have is not ours. It belongs to the Lord. The scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, and the world and all who dwell therein. So whatever it is you have it because God has given it to you, but he owns it, and you are just simply to manage it for his glory. And that's what the scripture's teaching us here. There was a manager. It wasn't his property that he was owning or managing it. It belonged to his employer. And he was just managing it for him. And that's the first thing we need to know, and that all that we have belongs to him. It's his. It's not mine. The house you live in is God's house, not yours. The car that you drive is God's car, not yours. Whatever it is you have, the property, the business that you own is God's business, Jerome, not yours. and managing it that way and realizing that it's his, it belongs to him. And remembering that, that's the first principle here on how to use well what God's given us. A steward's responsibility was to manage property. And in Bible times, especially in the Roman times, those wealthy families would hire a steward who would oversee the property. We saw it also in the book when we're talking about Joseph, when Joseph managed the property for Potiphar. And they would take care of doing all the management for it. And they would have the authority to make the decisions on behalf of the employer. But it wasn't their property, but they were managing it to get a good result. And as a steward, we are responsible to manage his property and his resource as well. And when you and I remember that God is the owner, not us, it helps us to hold on to what we have a little bit more loosely. Because I realize it's not mine, it's his. And it helps us to have a looser grip on the things that we have, realizing that it all belongs to him. I am just simply a steward. And we are responsible for how we manage it for him. Here we see that there was mismanagement going on in verses 1 and 2 as Jesus told the story. He was mismanaging the funds. He wasn't using the property rightly. And so the manager, the employer came in and said, I heard you're mismanaging. You're fired. You're done. Your days are here are numbered. He said, what can I do? He knew that his reputation was going to be destroyed. He wouldn't be able to get another job in the financial sector. So he came up with this plan of changing the billing. But he shows that we are responsible for that. If you remember that you're borrowing something and it's not yours, and you have something that's not yours that you don't own, you take better care of it. Like if you are borrowing a car from somebody and it's not yours, but they let you borrow their car, don't you make sure that you take good care of it and you return it properly and make sure that everything's right before you return it back to them? Why? Because it's not yours and you want to make sure you take good care of it. And when we realize that what we have is actually God's, not ours, we'll manage it in a way that honors him, the real owner, so that he is glorified from it. Be responsible for that. And remembering that we are managers and not owners, because we will all have to give an account of our stewardship. Notice here what happened in verse 2. He called him in and said, I heard what you've done. Give an account. You're not going to be able to be my manager anymore. And someday, God is going to call us all to account when we stand before him, and we're going to have to give an account of how faithful we used the resources that he entrusted to us on this earth. He owns it, but he's entrusted it to us for him. And so the first thing we learn from this story is remember that we are not owners. We are simply managers. Managing what God has given us for his good. Second principle we see from this story is use what you have to help others. This is where the story gets practical, and this is where the story, why the shrewd manager was praised. Because he thought, okay, what am I going to do? I'm fired. I got to earn a living somehow. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll come up with a plan to my advantage that will help somebody else, but it will also help me so that if ever I'm in need, they'll return the favor to me. So that's when he called the people in and said, you owe 1,000, tear that bill up and take it down to 400. You owe 800, take it down. And he came up with a plan to use the master's resources to help other people. It benefited others. And that's what Jesus commended him for. And that's the point of the story. And that's why he was commended for his shrewdness, because he was wise and come up with a way, how can I help other people out? How can I use these resources for an advantage for somebody else? So using what you have to help others, because see, we can't take it with us. And he says, use what you have to open a door for others, because we can't take it with us. What we have here, we can only send ahead. And there was a story about a wealthy Christian who somehow got obsessed with the idea of taking some of his wealth to heaven. So he knew that the Bible clearly teaches that you can't take it with you. He knew that. But he was so obsessed with his desire to take some of his wealth with him to heaven. So he just kept praying and praying and praying that God would give him permission to take some of his wealth to heaven with him. You think God answered that prayer? Finally, in his persistence, the prayer paid off. God spoke to him and says, okay, enough already. You can take one suitcase with you to heaven. That's all, just one. And you can take it with you to heaven. Choose wisely. So the story continues with a man deep in thought. What do I take? If I can take one suitcase with me to heaven and all that I own and all that I have here, what would I take along? So he finally decided what he was going to put in his suitcase, and he filled his suitcase full. Then one day he died. And when they next see him, he is slowly approaching the pearly gates, dragging his suitcase behind him. Saint Peter met him there at the gate and said, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing? You're not allowed to take anything into heaven with you. And the man answered, but you don't understand. I have special permission from God himself. He gave me permission to take this suitcase into heaven. And Peter rubbed his beard and he thought a minute. He says, well, that's very highly unusual. I can't imagine God letting you do that. But he said, let me look inside your suitcase and see what's there. So the man dragged his suitcase over, and Peter opened it up to see that it was filled with gold bars and gold bricks of gold. And Peter says, well, all right. If God said so, I suppose you can bring that here if you want, but what in the world do you want to go to the trouble bringing pavement into heaven for? See, money has no value in heaven. I mean, what we think is valuable here is not valued there. And so use what God has given us to help others. And that's the point. That realizing that what we have is not ours, it's God's. And he's given to us to help other people and so that they can be advantaged and be blessed in return. To open the door of welcome. In verse 4, he says, I know what I'll do. I'll do this so that people welcome me in their first home. And then verse 9, he says, I tell you, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. What is Jesus saying there? He's saying, use the wealth and what God has given us to open the door for others, to help them come to know Jesus, to help them come to know who he is, and to open the door of salvation to them so that when you go to heaven, you will receive reward for that. So that we will be rewarded for how we used our wealth here to bring others to him. And how we use that to open the door to introduce other people to Jesus. And that's the point of what Jesus is trying to say in this story. Because faithfulness leads to blessing. Notice verses 10 to 13. And Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will be honest with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true riches? Notice what Jesus is contrasting here. And get the whole power of what he's saying. If you cannot be trusted with very little, you can't be trusted with very much. And he contrasted very little with very much. And what does he mean by those two phrases? Well, the very little, what he's talking about, is the things of this world. What we have here is very little compared to the very much that we are going to have in eternity. That it's far greater, and the blessings, the reward that God has for us there, the riches and glory and all that is waiting for us in heaven, the inheritance for us there, we can't even begin to comprehend. And that's the very much. And so what he is saying is when we are faithful with the little, the what we have in this world, God will entrust you and I with great riches in heaven, with great reward there. Because faithfulness leads to blessing. And he entrusts us, you'll be entrusted with more in the world to come. So use what you've been given to help others. Don't hoard it. That's why this man was considered shrewd and wise. Last week we saw when the man took his resources and hoarded them for himself. But realizing what we have is not ours, it's God's. Use what we have to help others. And the third principle we see from this story is make serving God your top priority. He says in verses 13 to 14, no servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus says we can't serve two masters. We can only have one Lord. And our Lord needs to be Him, God who we serve. We can't serve God and money or God and anything else. Anything else becomes more important to us than Him. It becomes an idol in our life. Jesus said, where your treasure is, what you value, is where your heart will be as well. Now there was a lady, a mother, who gave her son Billy 2 quarters. And one was for Sunday school offering, and the other was for him to get an ice cream cone on the way home from Sunday school after Sunday school was over. So Billy was walking down the street on his way to Sunday school, and he was flipping his quarters up in the air a couple times and flipping up in the air and catching it as he was walking. And it happened about 8 times or so. Then all of a sudden, he missed catching it, and the one quarter rolled down the storm drain sewer and was gone. Billy looked up skyward to heaven and said, sorry, God. Why is it that God's quarter, God's is what we use first. We think it's mine. We have to choose. And then serving God is our top priority. We can't serve God and money, God and anything else. But is God our top priority in life? That's what Jesus is teaching us in this story. A strange story, one that doesn't seem to make sense to us, why he would commend a man with that. But when we take it apart and look a little deeper below the surface, that shrewdness is that wiseness, intelligence, and wiseness, intelligence, and prudence in using what we've been given. And so realizing what God has entrusted to you, be wise, prudent, shrewd in the way that you use it for his glory to advantage others to come to know him. And in that, we gain great reward. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us in this story, and we need to be reminded of that every now and then, that what we have really is not ours, it belongs to you. Your word says that every good and perfect gift comes from you, and all that we have is because you have been gracious in giving it to us. And so, Lord, remind us of that, that we are just simply managers or stewards of your resources that you entrust to us to use for your good. So, Lord, help us to be shrewd, to be wise and prudent in the way that we manage what you've given us. Lord, investing and using it to help others, so to open the door to them so that they can come to know you. And in doing that, we gain great reward. Lord, you told us that if we are faithful with the little things that you entrust us in when this world here, you will entrust us with much greater things in heaven. And so we know, and you remind us, that we are accountable for how well or we don't use the resources that you've given to us to manage for you. And Lord, someday we are going to have to give an account for that. And we want to stand before you and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. So Lord, show us those areas of our life that and the things we may be holding on to a little too tightly, and loosen the grip and realize that it's yours, it's not ours. And where our treasure is where our heart is. So Lord, may we treasure you above all else. So thank you for your word that is so practical and teaching us on how you want us to live. And the Pharisees, when they heard your word and heard this story, sneered at you. Lord, may that may not be our response, but may our response be to have your own way, to surrender our heart to you, to look in those places where we still need to give to you and surrender that to you, that we may live in a way that pleases you daily. And so we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.